Hello and welcome to show number 5 of Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix. You're listening to tailoredpodcast.com. My name is Brendan Sinclair and I'm the host of Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix. And today's show is all about how to develop a business that makes $5,000 per day with not much work at all. Now I know that sounds like one of those headlines the internet marketers would use before they sell you a $150 ebook, but I want to start off the show with a bit of a, not so much a disclaimer as a statement, that this is possible, okay? I'm a guy with very limited computer skills. I'm okay at marketing websites, and that's pretty much it. From a computer programming point of view, I literally have no idea. I know a little bit, obviously, but I'm sure people listening to this podcast have a lot more skills than me. I don't know how to design a website. I've got terrible, terrible taste. You should see the way I dress. I've got no design skills. I've got no programming skills. So if I can do this, then I'm sure that you can too. Now, what I'm about to tell you is the exact steps that we took to set up this business that pulls in $5,000 a day in sales. And they're incredibly simple steps. They're steps that I've implemented before. Now, before you think, okay, $5,000 a sale on a website, he's fluked it, he's just got lucky with something. Not really the case. I've actually had a website before that's made a lot more money than that. I think about $250,000 in an hour or two. I've also had a website this time last year that we set up and was doing $20,000 a day in sales. And we set up this website this time last year and this site was doing $10,000 a sale. I say a sale, $10,000 a day. It's not a fluke. This is just simple stuff that I've found over the years works really well on websites that if you implement some basic strategies, they can work for you as well. Here we go. The very first step I take when I've set up a web shop or a marketing plan or a business plan for any sort of business is I identify what the exit strategy is. That is, I figure out how I'm going to get out of this business. Is it going to be in a year? Do I want to sell to a multinational? Is it going to be in 6 months? I'm going to set this business up, get it running and then sell it. Am I going to build this business for 50 years and leave it to my kids and grandchildren? That's my exit strategy. And my exit strategy is critical because that impacts so much on the business planning. If my business plan is to sell out in 2 years' time, then I throw a lot of resources, all the time, all the focus at that business to grow it as quickly as I possibly can, not worrying too much about long-term growth, and then try and sell it. Now, the strategies for that is going to be entirely different to a business that I look at keeping for 50 years down the track. Because that's a much slower process. You're still obviously getting as many clients as you possibly can, but your general strategy is very, very different. So the very first thing I do is identify how I'm going to get out of this business. I identify that exit strategy, and I build my plan based upon that. Second thing we do is probably the most basic, and that's identifying the product and sourcing the product. Now we look at our products that we look to sell from 100 different angles. We look at how much they're in demand. We look at how easy they are to pack and post. We look at are they sort of the sort of things that get returned to be refunded. We look at the product from many, many different angles. Now when I say are they easy to post, then we look at things like how much do they weigh? Can they break in transit? How much is the packaging going to cost to ensure that they don't break or to fit them in the box? How big does the box need to be? How much is that postage going to be? If we do certain volumes of this product, how much of a break will we get on the postage price? With some of our sites, we get our postage at about half price from what the public does because of the volumes that we do. So we look at the product from that way. Obviously, we look at it from the how much demand is there, and we look at that, we identify that through, obviously, our gut instinct, what we think is happening out there in the marketplace. And that's based on a lot of research, a lot of time spent online and certainly offline looking at new trends. We also look at things like Yahoo, Buzz, Overture, Suggestion Tool, and Word Tracker to identify how many people are searching for these items online. And from there, we apply a lot of our own thinking about how likely these products are to be purchased online and how likely they are to be around in 1 or 2 years' time, because we don't want to set up a website that's just a fad product, bang, hits it, it's here for a year and then it's gone. We want something that's sustainable, something that is going to create a business for us in the future. So that's what we look for in the product. And that can be fairly difficult to find a product that meets all those criteria. And one bit of criteria I haven't mentioned there is it's great if it's a product you're interested in. Because if it's a product you're interested in, you're much more passionate about it. The longevity of the site is really critical, and that'll be longer and longer if you're interested in the product. And certainly if you have a passion about it, the website will go much better as well. Now, once we've identified that product, then we need to obviously go out and source it and check the wholesale price. What are the legal issues? What if the product breaks? Who's liable? All of those things. Once we've found suppliers and we're right to go, then we look at developing the website. First thing we look at there is the domain name. Domain name we like to be short as possible. We like to have .com domain names because we generally target US audiences for our products. US people are much more likely to buy in our experience than here in Australia, the Australian market. Much happier to buy and much keener to buy online. So we generally go for .com domain names. Shorter the better, more descriptive the better. If they're descriptive of the product, that's fantastic. And very importantly, we try and buy old domain names. There's a whole range of reasons for that, the main one being that I see some advantages with search engine optimization with old domain names, and certainly old domain names with websites that have been attached to them for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, however long it is. That's our domain name criteria. So we will buy them at somewhere like GoDaddy or Yahoo Domains or wherever for $10, or we can spend as much as $1,000 on it for an older domain name. Then we look at the hosting. I think I've talked about hosting before on the podcast. There's lots of different hosts out there, and you'll get a great host for $100, $200 per annum. Then the next thing we look at is what sort of shopping cart we're going to use. We've generally used one over the years, and we use it for this $5,000 a day site. The one we use there is called AmeriCart. That costs, I think, $240 per year. Then we'll look at all the infrastructure we need on the site with autoresponders. We generally use one called GetResponse. And that's pretty much it. There's newsletters that we might put on the website. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. There's one called DadaMail that we use, and another one called Constant Contact that we use as well. Now that takes care of our website infrastructure. Then we move along to designing the website or getting it designed for us. I've mentioned before Template Monster, which sell a lot of fantastic designs at a bargain rate, where you can find a fantastic looking website for not much money at all. So there's no qualms there, and for $50 or $60 you'll get a fantastic web design. Now from the web design, you always need someone with some web skills to set that up, and we've certainly got those in-house as well. Now comes the interesting bit, which is the development of the content for the website. The content of your website needs to be developed in such a way that it obviously encourages sales. It encourages people to revisit the website, and very importantly, it's consistent with the brand that you're trying to get across with your website. Now, the overwhelming factor that I really push with the content of your website is the importance of search engine optimization. Now, search engine optimization is developing your website in such a way that it gets high search engine rankings. That's critical for a whole range of reasons. One of those reasons being that your advertising online can be quite expensive, but if you happen to generate high search engine rankings, then those costs can pretty much come down to zero, and that's been our experience with this $5,000 a day website. So I'll move straight on from there with the content to talk about the marketing of your website. There's search engine optimization, there's linking from other websites, there's media plans, media releases that can help, word of mouth, pay-per-click. If you develop a good quality website, lots of content, it takes care of a lot of those things. It takes care of the search engine optimization. people will link to you without asking. People will hear about you from word of mouth, from others, media to a lesser extent, and then pay-per-click is probably separate to that entirely. So there we go. We've gone from go to woe and developed the website. And I'll just talk now about how we developed the website that does $5,000 a day in sales. It was, I think, October last year that we first set this website up. We got a great little domain name for it that was a fairly generic, fairly descriptive domain name for the products that we were selling. Then we got hosting for, I think, about $180 per year. We set up AmeriCart on the website. And we've gone, okay, let's get this thing started. We knew there was going to be good demand because we'd had the experience of looking at the word tracker and looking at Yahoo Buzz. In fact, Yahoo Buzz is where we first saw this product making quite a big splash and being searched for quite a while. So we launched the website on day one. I think by about day seven, the sales were $10,000 a day. Now, the only marketing we did on that website was pay-per-click advertising. I was spending about, I think it was about $500 a day on the pay-per-click advertising, but the profitability of the website was just extraordinary. So $500 was absolutely nothing. I was more than happy to pay that for the profits that we were generating, obviously. Now, at the same time I started search engine optimization work, I kept the content on the website up to date and interesting and relevant and ever-changing, and I was getting links to the website, and I added the website to quite a few directories, and those costs there must have been probably another $1,000 or $2,000 US for the cost on that website. Now, when December came, December 25, Christmas Day came, then our sales stopped because our product is very much a product that can be given as gifts, and that was certainly the way that it seemed to be. It's a product that can be sold 12 months of the year, but it's certainly one that was a popular gift. So December 25, basically our sales stopped for a few weeks. They restarted in January for a little while, but then our cost per sale was going up. And this is something that we measure very closely, our advertising costs and costs per sale. They went up from something like $12 a sale to $50 or $60 a sale. So it was becoming unprofitable to continue on with that form of advertising. We continued on with the site, and we've had the site going now just over a year. We continued on, still did a little bit of pay-per-click here and there, and continued on with the search engine optimization work. About 1 month ago, that site achieved a number one and a number five ranking for the major keyword in two of the top search engines, number one in one, number five in the other. Now, the major search engines are Google, MSN and Yahoo. Now, that has been enough to generate anywhere between 20 and 40 sales per day. The product's about $200. So when I say $5,000 a day, quite often the sales are more than that. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, that must be really hard to do. They must be really have a lot of staff and push things along there. This website I'm talking about is run by one of the staff here, and it takes her 3 hours a day to run that website from the minute she gets into the office to the minute she finishes. She basically starts at 9 and has finished her day's work by 12. There's a few bits and pieces that go on in between, but that's essentially how that website works. Now, we've got everything automated as well as we can. There's a couple of little issues that we're trying to fix up now as we're getting a little bit of time as things slow down at Christmas for us. And we'll achieve that. We'll make the website almost perfectly automated with autoresponders and real-time transactions. Okay, so the overlying thing here is that I haven't done anything special, have I? The things I've done have been very basic things. And I'll tell you where I got most of my pay-per-click knowledge from was Perry Marshall's Guide to Google AdWords, I think it's called. I'll put it in the show notes anyway. And a lot of my search engine knowledge has come, certainly a lot of work over the years, but a great book that I really push is called SEO Book by a guy called Aaron Wall, who really knows what he's talking about. They would be considered my two prime books, and they're the two books that I read and implemented those strategies that generated those sort of sales, $10,000 a day at one stage this time last year. That was on $500 worth of advertising per day. Now we don't spend a cent, and we are number one and number five in two of the major search engines for the most competitive keyword for that product, and it's a hugely profitable product as well. Now, like I said before, if I can do it, you can too. The only reason that we do okay with this stuff is because we actually do it. What I see a lot of it, people read all the books, they read all the websites, they get all the information, but they don't actually implement anything. And I really like this podcast as a good example of this. This is kind of how my mind works. It sounds like a bit of an egomaniac here when I'm talking like this, but this is kind of how my mind works. With the podcast, I know that these first four or five shows haven't been great. They've been okay, and I think they're certainly improving as time goes by. But my thinking was, okay, let's just do one, get it done, make a commitment to do one each week for the next however many weeks, and as we go on, I'll buy a better microphone, I'll buy a better mixer, I'll spend more time on the editing, we'll do the professional intros, all of that, because then when I'm taking action, I tend to take more and more action, and there's consequences from those actions. The consequences are we've got quite a few people who've subscribed to the feed now. We've got quite a few people who are downloading it straight into their iPods. It's just simple stuff. It's taking action that makes the difference, because once you take an action, then there'll be a consequence, and then you can look at that and go, hey, okay, that's worked, I'll try that now. And then all of a sudden you've got some experience, and because you've implemented these strategies before, you've got some expertise in that line. Now, I've talked about on this website about automating things as much as possible. One of the things we used to do was send autoresponders out with this particular product, communicating with the customer where their product was in the process, how far away it was, when it was posted, when it would be there, etc. Now, what I found with that is that that generated an enormous amount of reply emails from those customers saying, thanks, I expect to be here yesterday, can you have another look, etc. And what that did was drove our customer service person bananas, because they were nothing questions, and she couldn't give them any more information than they already had. They were as informed as she could inform them, and they were just generic, non-specific questions. So we're taking up hours of her day. So we found that by taking away the autoresponder and not informing people that entire process, I think they received something like 6 or 7 emails as they went. By taking that away, we significantly reduced our workload. And by reducing our workload, we had more time to spend on the customer service stuff that was generating us sales, or the marketing that was generating us sales. Now, interestingly, our customer satisfaction surveys also went up at the same time. There was no diminishing of the perceived level of customer service after we stopped those emails as autoresponders. So those things implemented give us that expertise. We look at that and we go, okay, we know what to do next time. We know not what to do. We know, hey, if we use AmeriCart, we should use this. We know we should use Dada Mail for this website. It's a simple text email you can do HTML if you want, but if we want something a bit more high-powered and high-class, I guess, then we would use Constant Contact. And it's just by using these things, by implementing these strategies, by doing this over here and this over here, do we build our expertise? Do we see that, hey, this worked with that search engine, this worked with that search engine, Google AdWords are great using them this way, don't want to do this because this will happen. And you sort of tie it all together, and after a while, you think to yourself, gee, I know what I'm doing here. This is pretty easy stuff because I've done this 20 times before. My overwhelming suggestion to you is to get out there and take some action. 2006 promises to be a huge, huge year on the web with terms of e-commerce. It's just going to grow and grow and grow. So if you've got web skills and you're thinking of starting up a web business, then now is the time to act, because now's the time that people are starting to buy, and now you've got the skills. And don't just listen to this podcast and go, oh yeah, some good ideas, I wonder what AmeriCart's like. I wonder if I could get a domain. Just go and do that stuff. I mean, the stuff I'm telling you have been tried and tested. I've tried 100 different shopping carts, and I've tried 100 different hosts and 100 different domain name registrars. And the ones that I mentioned in the podcast are great ones. They're ones that I've used, I've been delighted with over the years, and work really, really well for us. So use those same ones with confidence. Get in there and do it and go, okay, Brendan's recommended it, I'll give it a go. Same with the SEO book and the Perry Marshall book. Great books. Buy them. They'll cost you a couple of bucks, but well worth it, and I'm sure you'll learn something from them. So that brings an end to this podcast. I hope that's been of interest. I just feel like it makes it sound really simple how to build a business worth $5,000 a day. But it is. It is. If I can do it, you can too. Of that, I am 100% sure. So thanks for listening. Look, I hope you have a great Christmas, you and your family, and don't eat too much Christmas pie, and I hope Santa Claus comes to you. And keep safe over Christmas, and I'll hope to hear from you next year.